Good morning, Columbia Grove family, and I do mean the word family. All the things I've seen the past couple months during this corona of neighbors helping neighbors, food donations dropped off to the church, people going to get groceries for people, people going to the drugstore, people helping each other with landscaping needs. It's just been truly amazing to see all the good that has come out of this corona during these uncertain times. Also want to give a shout out to Pastor Andrew, just how he's been able to put these services together with all these different elements of people in different locations, talking into a cell phone or singing into a cell phone and making these services just come alive. So thank you, Pastor Andrew. Hopefully on your Facebook comment section there, give him some love, give him some likes, give him some hearts, and let him know how much you appreciate the work that he's been doing to get these services so well done. Before I bring you my message today, I want to go back to last October 27th, the last time I was standing in front of you giving the message. That day was a little bit different. I had over 200 sets of eyes looking back at me. That day I shared about a personal journey I had on a over 30, and if I was actually fully transparent, probably a 50 or 55 year battle with anxiety and panic attacks. That day, my sermon was called How Grace Frees You From. At the end of that service, there were two tables up in front of the sanctuary, and I had little pieces of paper on them and a bunch of pens. At the end of my service, or at the end of my sermon, I took a piece of paper and write down, God freed me from anxiety. I put it in the bowl on the communion table, and I challenged those who wanted to write what God has freed them from through grace. That day, there were 88 pieces of paper put into that bowl on the communion table. Those pieces of paper are sealed in this envelope. It sits on the right-hand corner of my desk. Every Tuesday, I pray for the words that are written on those pieces of paper, because all those words represent a person who has been hurting, maybe from a shame, embarrassment, something that happened in childhood, maybe like me, a 50 years of hiding something. Today, I'd like to pray for that envelope again. Maybe in the comment section, just pray along with me. See, because what's written on those pieces of paper represent potentially you. And I know from my own struggles that prayer is needed. May I pray for you now? Lord God, all those pieces of paper have ink and words written on paper. They represent people, people who have had addictions, people who have had shame, people who have had regret, people who have had anxiety, things in their life that your grace has freed them from, or in the process of freeing them from. Be with all those people, Lord, that wrote down something on those pieces of paper. I'm sure many of them are listening now or will be watching this later. Be with them. For all those now, Lord, that are suffering from the corona, just what's happening with the world, from things shut down to the world as we don't know it anymore. Just be with all of us as we look to you for hope along the way. Amen. I think I need to share that today with you as much as I needed to share it today for me. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We all have a favorite Bible verse. Maybe it's a verse that's very well known, like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There's also a couple of verses that I like in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In that same chapter, also verse 13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. How true that is in my own life. My message today, friends, is on everyday miracles. I'm going to use the text from the book of John, John 21, verses 24 and 25, the last two verses in the book of John. If you get to Acts, it's on the other page, the last two verses. These two verses are becoming two of my favorite ones. They're not as well known, and maybe it's John 3:16 or maybe those other two verses I just read. They may not be even in the top 50 verses of special verses in the Bible. But to me, they mean so much on my own faith journey and more proof that the Bible is real and the power of Jesus. Friends, there's a lot of uncertainty going on right now, isn't there? Some loss of jobs, some layoffs, businesses closing, just lots and lots of uncertainty. You can't even meet somebody in a restaurant for a meal or meet somebody for a cup of coffee right now. Parents are homeschooling. Lots of stuff going on. Just trying to get the unemployment figured out and get is crazy. Hopefully today, these last two verses will give you some hope and stability during these crazy times. Have you ever heard of something so outrageous that you know it just can't be true? Something like, I'll bet you $1 million, or I'll bet the farm. Maybe you're waiting for the punchline. Maybe something another outrageous could be, the Mariners win the World Series. Well, I guess we have to have baseball for that to happen. But there's always hope. Mariners haven't lost yet this year. Or how about this one? If all the miracles that Jesus performed were written down, there's not enough books in the libraries to put all that information down, to hold all that those books in a library. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Let me say it again. If all the miracles that Jesus performed were written down, there's not enough libraries in the world to hold all the books. My personal prayer today for you listening, whether it's live or in the future, that the words from my mouth will take something so outlandish that you will have hope for the future. Let me read John 21, verses 24 and 25, beginning of verse 24. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Whenever I have a bad day or I get down, and I do have them, these two verses in John are two that I go to personally for hope and to remember the power of Jesus, that he is in control. I also love this saying by Max Lucado, be patient and let God remind you he's still in control. I need to hear that, especially on rough days. It's widely known that the book of John was written quite a while after the other Gospels were written, as John was younger than the other disciples. So he had seen with his own eyes what Jesus was doing. Let's take a look at these verses a little closer. Verse 24 says, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Let's look at that word testify. When I think of testify, I, maybe like you, think of a courtroom. Maybe a higher standard, maybe a higher importance when you testify than just talking or gossip. Black's Law Dictionary defines testify as this: to give evidence as a witness, or to bear witness as an expert. John was there, so he saw firsthand a witness to Jesus' miracles. The next key word that I pick up is wrote down. This isn't hearsay, friends. This book is true. And it says it's true with John's testimony. Think about all the people and all the groups that for thousands of years have tried to prove this book wrong or false. They can't, because it's true. To me, the book of John is an uplifting book. Also, it's a great place to start if you're new to Bible reading or a new Christian, or if you just need encouragement. Grab a Bible, start reading the book of John. John also in this book gives us the I am statements. Not the I might or I maybe, but I am. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. When I think of those statements, there's no doubt to me who's in charge. The Gospel of John helps us link the Old Testament to God. It tells us who Jesus is. Basically, it's the story of Jesus. When we look at verse 25, it says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. Let me read that again, and let's focus on those words. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Jesus did many other things, not just the things we think of as we read the Bible. Miracles like raising Lazarus from the dead, feeding 5,000, walking on water, healing a blind man to see. You know those stories just as well as I do. In fact, the way I read this verse, there were so many miracles that the whole world would not have enough room in all the libraries to record what miracles Jesus did. We see in John's writings, Jesus as the Word of God, the Son of God, and God Himself. He kind of puts it all together. Can you imagine the amount of books, let's just say in our own Wenatchee Library, all those shelves of books, all the words that are in each of those books? It's just amazing to me that the whole world wouldn't have enough room to put all the books that was written down that Jesus did. And to think that this was accomplished all in 3 years. Can you imagine being a disciple or a follower of Jesus? Just following him around each day, seeing miracle after miracle after miracle, each day, each hour. And yet there were still those who didn't believe. Just another everyday miracle to those around him. How could Jesus do this, you ask? Think of all the people that Jesus was in contact with throughout the day, each and every day during those 3 years. Well, the answers, my friends, are always in this book. They're always in the Bible. Sometimes we just need to open it up, maybe blow some dust off of it to find those answers. Let's look at Matthew 9. I won't read it all for the sake of time's sake, but let's just look at a part of a day in the life of Jesus and count in just this one chapter the times Jesus was with people. How many everyday miracles do you think could have been performed in this one day? From chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 2 starts, some men brought a paralyzed man. Verse 8, the crowd saw a man named Matthew. Tax collectors and sinners came. Pharisees, synagogue leader, knelt before Jesus. A woman. Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and then saw a noisy crowd. News spread through the region of Jesus. Two blind men approached. They all went and spread the news about him. A man, more Pharisees. And finally it says that Jesus went through towns and villages. Just one day in the life of Jesus, And we know it's true. Why? Because it was written down. My quick count says 14 times that day, Jesus was with individuals, small groups, and large crowds. Friends, how many times do you think on just that one day, Jesus saw people who were hurting, hungry, sick, diseased, broken, with no hope or no future? I'm guessing multiple times, if not hundreds. God uses broken things and broken people every day. We normally think of something broken as bad that must be discarded, especially in our throwaway society now. God uses broken things in a positive way. Think of a farmer, or better yet, maybe yourself. I know in the past couple weeks we planted a garden. In order to take those vegetable seeds out and get them planted, we had to break the ground open to get that seed planted. Then we had to break the soil up to put the soil back over that seed with some moisture, and that seed knows, maybe an everyday miracle, that seed knows when it gets dirt around it and some moisture, it's time to grow, and it grows up to the warmth and the sun. That seed has to break ground all the way through. When that seed reaches the top, it breaks open, more broken, to reach its full potential. Even the clouds have to be broken for the rains to come down. So all that broken is actually good, the way Jesus looks at it. Seeds need to be broken in order to reach their potential. You see, God uses broken things beautifully. So when you're feeling broken, and I'm sure most of you have, I know I have, God's just planting a seed for us to do something good. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be in Jesus' entourage in those days, to see thousands, if not tens of thousands, of miracles over those years or maybe months? Or maybe phrased a different way, thousands or tens of thousands of people who are hurting and broken. What pops into my mind is something maybe just as simple as that entourage and all those people were following Jesus on the roads. They weren't blacktopped. They didn't have rest areas right off the freeway from them. They were just ruts. They were not in good shape, but that's what they had, so they used them. I just think of things something like maybe a follower of Jesus somewhere in that entourage in the back. Maybe they stepped in a hole or a pothole or something and broke an ankle. Word got up to Jesus, and miraculously, an everyday miracle, it was healed. Do you know, or better yet, do you believe that Jesus is still performing miracles on a daily basis? I hope there's lots of yeses, thumbs up, and hearts in the chat box right now. I want you to start thinking of a miracle in your life. Was it overcoming anxiety, quitting an addiction, maybe a family getting back together, maybe dealing with a situation that you just knew it wouldn't work, but it did? Maybe your miracle was accepting Jesus into your heart to spend eternal life with him. To me, an everyday miracle is something that's so common that we don't even think about it. It just happens. How does a daffodil or a crocus know when to come through the ground, especially if there's snow on the ground or a frost on the ground? You'll still see that daffodil or that crocus trying to pop through the ground. What about an everyday miracle called birth? Thousands of babies are born each day. Then we just kind of go, ah, ho-hum. Unless, of course, that baby is our child or our grandchild. Then it's pretty special and pretty important. When we lived in Kansas, five years ago we moved back, so roughly nine and a half years ago when we moved back there, I was working on our family farm. And it was the farm that my mom was raised on in northwest Kansas, and it was wheat, corn, summer follow rotation, and a lot of pasture ground back there, so there's cattle. So we had a registered bull operation and a cow-calf operation. I'm guessing over those 4 years that I was back there, or that we were back there, I easily saw 100, 125, 150 calves born, and every one of those was an everyday miracle. As you watch that calf on the ground, all of a sudden the mama turns around, starts licking its face to make sure that calf can breathe. That calf knows, no matter how bad the struggle is, to stand up to get mama's milk and colostrum, hopefully within the first 30 minutes, to give that calf the best chance. You see, everyday miracles happen, even out in the calving pasture in Kansas, 27, 8 miles out in the country, where nobody was around but me to see that everyday miracle. Those miracles we just take for granted, but God has a hand in all of those when we stop, slow down, and see God's miracles and work around us. Let me tell you another story of a miracle, everyday miracle. This happened in the late 1950s, actually the mid to late 1950s. A young married couple found out they were pregnant after a few years of marriage and were so excited. Then they went to the doctor appointment on month number 5, and there was no heartbeat. The baby was lost. A few years later, this couple was overjoyed. Another time, visit to the doctor, and those words that every couple that wants a baby hears, "You're pregnant." Things went well until about the 7th month. An early labor resulted in a baby boy who unfortunately had some issues and only lived a few hours. So twice to the hospital as a young couple. By this time, they'd been married about 7 years, and not to bring home a baby in the car seat. The car seat was empty, and they came home empty, I'm sure a little bit broken. The family doctor told him after that you should not try for any more kids. Your best bet would be to adopt, especially with the medical science back in the late 1950s. Well, you can imagine the story. A little over a year later, they heard those words again, "You're pregnant." The doctor warned them, "You shouldn't have this baby. It'll probably be deformed. It'll have birth defects. It might not be normal. Going to have lifelong issues." You see, they were basically told not to have this child. But I'm glad they did. You see, that everyday miracle is standing in front of you, me. If you're ever at the New Tacoma Cemetery in Tacoma, Washington, there's a small grave with a headstone by the front gate. It says, "Baby Boy Collard." My dad was a Lutheran minister. His first hospital baptism and his first child funeral was of his own son. Wow. Think about faith being tested. Can you imagine, especially you moms out there, the daily fear, daily emotions, especially as my mom got to month 6, month 7, month 8, month 9. Every movement, every funny feeling, the anticipation of labor, then giving birth and seeing if I had 10 fingers, 10 toes. Remember, in verse 25, it said, "There's not enough room for all the books to be written of Jesus' miracles." I want us to add to that library of books today. You see, my everyday miracle is that of all the babies born that day in the same hospital I was born, my parents knew I was a miracle. In the chat, and I'll never ask you to do anything that I won't or that you're not comfortable doing, I'd like for you, if you've had a miracle or an everyday miracle, just to put a thumbs up or a heart, if either one of those would work, just to let us all know about everyday miracles in your own life. If you're comfortable, You can even put that word down in the chat box so we can pray for you later. And you are amongst friends. Now, if you're really bold and aren't afraid to tell the world, grab a sheet of copy paper, legal pad, whatever, and write on it what your everyday miracle is. My everyday miracle is I'm alive. Just a minute, let me get my cell phone out here. All right. That picture was just posted to my personal Facebook page and tagged Columbia Grove. If you're bold and you want to share that miracle, go ahead and do what I just did. And again, if you don't, that's okay. You're never forced to do anything. But just as I found out last October 27th, when I stood before you and I shared something very personal about a battle I'd been having for the majority of my life, after that, I had over 30 people contact me, thanking me for giving them hope or for reaching out. That sermon has been viewed well over 325 times. It's okay to be transparent. It's okay to get things out so you can heal. John's purpose of writing the gospel was to show that Jesus was the Son of God. He clearly and systematically presents a case with evidence for Jesus. For many years, I was a high school and college football official. You take a lot of tests, a lot of written tests. You do a lot of studying of the rules. I knew the rule book, black and white. How to apply those rules to become a very good football official. However, during a football game, except for the dead ball time, all the pre-snap, those you officiate black and white. But the live ball action, you officiate those in the gray. Did it affect the play? Was there advantage, disadvantage? If I would have officiated the live ball action, black and white, I wouldn't have got very far in my officiating career. Likewise, if you do your life in the gray, our relationship with Jesus can struggle. Friends, there is no gray area when we're talking about eternal life. Just as we go to court and testify that word we heard in verse 24, a decision has to be made by the jury. You're going to be the jury. When evidence is presented in a courtroom, those who hear it must make a choice. Just as when we read the Gospel of John, each of us must make a choice. Is Jesus the Son of God, or isn't he? Friends, you're now the jury. There's been evidence presented. You must decide. The stakes are pretty high, higher than a football game. We're talking eternal life or hell. It's that simple. Each of you today is an everyday miracle. No matter what your past was or is, you can be reborn. If you're a follower of Jesus, or if you decide to follow him today, I encourage you to say this prayer with me. The words will be on the screen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Now, help me to live for you and the rest of this life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, or maybe the first time you said it and you meant it, reach out to me, reach out to one of the pastors, reach out to a friend so we can help you along that journey. It's an amazing journey, and we'd love to connect with you. As I close, maybe we all realize that we're a child of God. No matter how things look to us today, Whether life is great or has doubts and uncertainty, we have hope in a risen Savior. God is in control, always has been, always will be. Love like Jesus. Amen.